Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2015 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to our conference call. As usual, I will go through the main highlights of the third quarter and the first nine months, and then I will leave the stage to Mr. De Angelis, who is gonna comment more specifically the numbers. Before moving to our sales by region, let me start highlighting the fact that we decided to raise our guidance for 2015 on revenues and EBITDA. As you remember, we forecasted a growth of revenues between 4%-5% at constant exchange rate versus 2014. Consistent with the positive sales trends that we registered in the first nine months and in the third quarter, we now expect revenues to grow above 5% at constant exchange rate. This is mainly due to the continued success of our CLIA test, and this success we are experiencing all around the world, and by the same time, as we discussed in the past, the stabilization of our vitamin D franchise, thanks to the agreement with Quest in the U.S. that came into full force and some agreements in Europe. As per our CLIA test ex vitamin D, we are more and more considered an important player in the diagnostic field, especially thanks to the breadth of our CLIA menu and the completeness of the menu in the specialty and in the mainstream areas. I'm really confident on our infectious disease and on the success of the infectious disease that will continue in key countries like China, where we are very strong and getting stronger on the prenatal screening panel, and in Europe, where we have completed the development of the stool line, and so far, this has been very successful in key markets like Germany, Italy, and Spain. And we are confident that with a full panel, this success will continue also next year. We are also experiencing a great success with our chronic kidney disease test line that, as you remember, we consider pillar to our future strategy and the position of the company moving forward. Above all, I'm very proud of the success of the new vitamin D125 test that, since launch, contributed to around 15 million euros of total revenues. Its fast adoption by the labs is happening all around the world, and is allowing us, has allowed us, as we have spelled out last year, to get the vast majority of this market worldwide. Now we need to move forward with this, with the 125 vitamin D, and as we have discussed during the Investor Day, we believe that there is a possibility of using this test in combination with some other CLIA tests, to provide doctors with an evidence of new clinical investigation for the CKD. And we are committed to working in this clinical application, and we expect that this will contribute to further growth in the future years. Specifically related to the 125 in combination with another marker, which is called PTH, we have submitted our first clinical results to some key opinion leaders in the medical community. We have conducted a study with over 1,000 patients. We have filed patent application, and we're gonna keep you updated in the future on the next steps with the strategic project, but we consider this key for the positioning and the success of DiaSorin. Now, if we move to the EBITDA, we are gonna raise the guidance that we've announced previously, that I remind you, was again in line with revenue growth 4%-5%. We now expect an EBITDA growth between 6%-7% at constant exchange rate. Now, the increase is the result of three main elements: higher sales that grew in the quarter and in the nine months by almost 13% at current exchange rate, a different geographic and product mix that we have experienced in the first nine months, with a strong growth coming from China, where we enjoy high numbers, with unexpected growth coming from Europe and also the U.S., the stabilization of the U.S. market. Last but not least, the increase of EBITDA is related to the fact that our mix is changing toward more specialty, and more specialty means higher price and higher value, which means a higher contribution on the gross margin line. As a consequence, our gross margin improved by 17.4% in the third quarter and 15.1% in the first 9 months. And the incidence of our operating expenses decreased by around 1.5% versus last year. As for instrument installed, we confirm the previous guidance. Our installed base of the Liaison family continues to grow, as you've seen. By end of September, we reach a total of over 6,200 systems installed worldwide, with about a third or 35% of that, which is the Liaison Excel new platform. I think we passed 2,000 Liaison Excel installed worldwide. As you may see from the relevant increase of Liaison Excel vis-a-vis the Liaison net placements, and this is what we, if you remember, this is what we report in our results, we started a program of substitution of the old Liaison instruments which come to an end with more performing Liaison Excel on our customer base. So some of the aging Liaison install base, rather than being replaced, as it happened in the past with existing Liaisons or extended warranty, we decided to conduct a program in certain geographies to swap those Liaisons with Liaison Excel. This replacement program on our clay instrument is not going to be dilutive on our revenue growth. In fact, every time we swap a Liaison with a Liaison Excel, we ask the customer to guarantee us 20 to 25% revenue growth adopting more products. And this is, if you notice, is in line with our current Clea XD revenue growth. So the placement of a Liaison Excel will carry additional growth for the Clea XD line. After having commented the rationale behind our guidance increase, I would like to just share with you some comments on some product lines and then geographies. As far as our Clea X vitamin D sales, they are continuously growing, double-digit, showing a further acceleration in the third quarter to a total 22.5% at constant exchange rate. As far as our vitamin D line, as we've discussed before, the business stabilized in key geographies like the U.S., and it has been and showed in Q3 a small growth, 2.5% at constant exchange rate, but as we have forecasted before, we expect this business now to be relatively stable in the next quarters. Last, before we move to discuss geographies, I would like to comment on the distribution agreement that we announced and signed in July with Beckman Coulter. This will give us the opportunity to sell our CLIA hepatitis and HIV test in China, a country where the results we have achieved are confirming the performance which we projected in the 3 years plan, and they are, I would comment, as exceptional. So on top of exceptional current results, we are starting to see, and we will see, obviously, beginning of next year, a further acceleration due to the Beckman agreement. Now, let me move to comment sales by region. In Europe, the business is growing as expected, or I would say is growing more than we expected initially, thanks to the success in some key geographies. In the third quarter, by 6.5% at cost and exchange rate, and in the first 9 months at 5% at cost and exchange rate. And this growth is a consequence of the adoption of a lot of specialty products by a lot of the large customers in Europe. Germany continues to be strong with an increase in of 10.5%, mainly again driven by vitamin D125 and some significant contracts which have been signed with our growing install base. In Germany also, the Stuhl program is very important because I remind you that after the U.S. is the second largest market for Stuhl worldwide, and now we have a complete panel, and the penetration of that market is working fine for us. In France, finally, the sales have been stabilized. So after we took a loss on vitamin D over the last 3 years, now the business is stable, and so the growth of the XD allows then a positive development of revenues in the countries. Last but not least, Spain, where after 2 difficult years, now Spain has rebounded back, and we now enjoy growth in Spain of 15% in 9 months and 23% in a quarter. And we see Spain now as a country where it's worth reinvesting to fuel growth. However, there is a country in Italy where we have experienced issues, which is our main country, which is Italy, that for the first time has registered a negative trend in the quarter of 2% versus last year. This is the result of the fact that there is a reform that has been discussed today in the country that put a lot of pressure on lab to reduce laboratory testing. The reform is not still in place, but there is a psychological pressure to doctors to revise the prescription and the way that they use diagnostic tools. And for the time being, what we've seen has been not an effect on pricing, but an effect on volumes ordered by customers. And we expect that Italy is not going to be a growth engine any longer. It's going to be more stable in the next year or so until the dynamics within the countries will stabilize. Last but not least, we have opened our, I would say, last or most recent subsidiary in Europe, Diasor in Poland. We have initiated operated in Poland a month ago. And Poland is a key market for us, 40 million people, a fast-developing market, and we expect growth to come from this country starting from next year. Now let's move to North America. In the U.S., sales are up 4.8% in Q3 at constant exchange rate and 4% in the first 9 months. And again, we already discussed this many times. This is due to the stabilization of the vitamin D franchise in the country. But by the same token, our Clia-X vitamin D revenues continue to grow strong, 39.4% in the third quarter, 43% in the first 9 months at constant exchange rate. And today, they represent pretty much over 35% of the total Clia revenue. So the effect, the positive effect given by this growth is helping in a stable environment with vitamin D to fuel the growth of the North American market, which remains a strategy for Diasor. Now let's move to Asia-Pacific. Asia-Pacific, strong growth, almost 16% in the quarter at constant exchange rate and 17% over 9 months, and everything points to the success of China. In China, we grew 43% in Q3 and 32.2% in the first 9 months, so there is an acceleration of our business in China, mainly due to the install base. We now have reached 700 systems placed in the country, of which 200 are Liaison XL. We continue to penetrate very successfully the mid-large labs throughout the different geographies, and we moved into a second phase of the strategy where, starting from the big cities like Beijing and Shanghai that have been already penetrated in the past, now we are moving into the periphery, if we can call it that way, even if the periphery in China means hundreds of millions of people, through a new network of distributors that allow us now to penetrate those under-penetrated markets. So we are extremely satisfied about our Chinese franchise. Let me remind you that this success so far has not been impacted yet by Beckman, the Beckman agreement that was just signed. Installations are starting, and we expect to see the effect starting from next year. Finally, Latin America, where we had a decrease of 0.6%, which means that we've been flat in Latin America, and this is mainly due to Brazil. The country is still suffering from a weak economy that is affecting local business at all levels. Up until now, the Diasorin was selling consistently its tests to public hospitals that are facing serious economical difficulties in paying back the suppliers. As a consequence of this situation in the country, we decided to move our focus from public sector to private labs and hospitals, and this will require us some effort and some time to develop these new clients. However, we see this the only opportunity in a country where the public system is fundamentally defaulting. That means that we decided to retrench in Brazil, waiting for the, hopefully for the next positive economic cycle. We have written off certain receivable that we did not, we decided we're not going to collect from the public system and certain distributors that are working with public system. And this, by the way, is an impact in Q3 of 1 million euros. So we took a write-off of 1 million euros of receivable in the quarter. Now we feel that all the receivable left are clean. These receivables are directed toward hospitals that are working with the public, private sector, sorry, or private laboratories. And then we expect Brazil to remain at the current revenue level, focus on the cash flow, focus on the margin, until growth will come when the country will start again to recover. Now, let me pass the microphone to Mr. De Angelis, and then we will move to the usual Q&A session. Pierluigi.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let me focus my speech mainly on the good results of our group, EBITDA, in the third quarter and in the first 9 months. In the third quarter, the EBITDA grew by 12.5% at current exchange rate, with an EBITDA margin of 36.5%. At constant exchange rate, the growth was equal to 9.3% and the margin was 37.5%. This result is the consequence of the increase of our gross profit and the lower incidence of operating expenses, despite the negative impact of the exchange rates. When we move to EBITDA of the first 9 months of 2015, we registered a growth of 15.5% at current exchange rate with EBITDA margin of 37%. At constant exchange rate, the growth of EBITDA was equal to 6.7% and the margin was 36.6%. These important results achieved led us, as Carlo Rosa said, to raise our guidance to the full-year EBITDA growth to range of 6% to 7% at constant exchange rate. As far as the net financial position, as per September 30th, 2015, our net cash was equal to almost 232 million of euros, increasing by 65.5 million euros from the end of 2014, as the result of the continuous cash flow we are able to generate from our operating activities. Finally, concerning the free cash flow, the group generated 35.5 million of euros in the third quarter and 74.8 million of euros in the first 9 months. I think I covered the most important topics of our Q3 and 9 months results. So, let me now ask to the operator to open the floor for the Q&A section, and thank you.
Thank you, Pierluigi. Operator?
Excuse me, this is the conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody, and my compliments for the results, which were, I'll say, very solid. Only one question from my side. Can you give us some hints on what you expect for 2016? I'm not talking about numbers specifically, but in terms of business development. Thanks.
Yes, Massimo. I will not give you, obviously, any hint as far as numbers are concerned. I will give you more a strategic interpretation of how I see 2016. For the time being, what we see is that let's start from the easy one. We see that our strategy in China is working very well. Today, China is representing for our group by the year end, 10% of the total clear revenue, and is a very strong growth. Today, as you know, we operate in China as everybody else through distributors. So if you really look at end user revenues, China today is the second largest market for us after the U.S. So it's passed Italy effectively this year. The trajectory is very positive. The strategy works very well. And we are very confident that we will continue to develop the business in the class 2 and mid-sized class 3 hospitals. And we are very fond of the alliance with Beckman because we believe that in the class 3 hospital where there is consolidation and need of automation, this alliance is going to deliver for us very good results as far as hepatitis HIV is concerned. So very positive on China. I am in a certain, respect, I am pleased and in somehow surprised by the very good solid result on Europe. And again, let me remind you that when we show a 6-7% growth in Europe, this includes a default in Italy, so an Italy that is declining 2%. But this is the result of a specialty position of the company in the northern part of Europe. So today we are experiencing very strong growth and success in the Nordic countries, in Germany that is a solid market, and in Austria and in the Czech Republic. So that positioning is clearly paying out. Last but not least, to report for Europe, very good sign coming from Spain. Spain, I think, is back. They are paying. They've not been paying for 2 years. Now they are paying. They are, the hospitals have been reorganized. The reforms happened. And our business is really benefiting significantly from this growth. As I told you, 15% year-to-date growth and 23% in Q3. So Spain will come back, and again, I think the black eye of Europe is going to be Italy for at least for a while, in my opinion. But, you know, solid Europe, and I continue to see solid Europe also next year. U.S., I think, is the success was announced pretty much the day that we were able to lock in the Quest business because it did very good to us in terms of solidifying our vitamin D franchise, giving us time to continue to expand and increase the weight of our XD business that is becoming significant for us. And as I told you, as you saw, is growing 20, 30, 40% quarter to quarter. So very, very good when it comes to that. So my outlook at this point is positive after a quarter like this. And also the other thing that I would like to underline is the fact that is the gross margin. As you know, in the last 3 years, since we had to pay the dues for the vitamin D price war, we experienced some erosion of the gross margin. By the way, an erosion that has been less than what forecasted by some of the analysts in the space, but because, as we always stated, under the vitamin D, there was a strong pipeline of specialty products. Now that, the vitamin D erosion is more contained and this strong pipeline of specialty products are contributing more and more to the revenue mix, and you see that there is a very positive effect on the gross margin. So that, to me, is a signal that is very positive. We were expecting it, and finally we see the effect of it in the business.
On China, I've read an interview you gave to Italian press this week. You were very bullish on that. Can we, in terms of magnitude, right now is a third of the U.S. Long term, where it could go? I mean, can we envisage a period in which it's going to be as big as U.S. or it's probably being too bullish? And again, in terms of business development, can we expect for 16 the usual 5-6 new launches in terms of tests, or probably you overachieved in 15, so probably I have to expect a slightly lower number of new tests in next year?
Listen, let me just make a comment. You are referring to an article where if you read the article, it says, if you read the article, but you read the title, they are not the same. So the title says, we are going to sell to 20,000 Chinese hospitals, but then the interview says something different. I'm very bullish about China for the midterm. I think that China is a market that can be strategic for the next 3 to 5 years, and I think that we are very well positioned in the country to be successful, because the fundamental of the business, which, again, I remind you, is fundamentally products for fertility and for newborns, which today is very well received by the country, and now hepatitis and HIV, which is an endemic product, endemic problem in the country, allow us to be positive about the future in China. The other thing, that the other element to keep in mind when looking at China potential for us, is that there are vast regions of China that we have not reached yet. And so the effort that we took 2 years ago was to expand our reach behind Beijing and behind Shanghai, and this is paying off. So the revenue growth that you see today is the effort of increasing distribution network done, and now we are reaping the benefit of that. So, yes, I think that for the next few years, I think China is an opportunity. Long term is difficult to say. Long term, I mean behind 5 years, because China is a country that is in continuous development. So we will see that.
And on the new test launch next year, what could we expect?
I think that we're going to stick to the plan. So in the 3 years plan, we have stated what is the pipeline, and so far I see no risk on the pipeline. So 5-6 new products should be coming in the R&D from R&D next year.
Okay. Thank you very much, and compliments again.
Thank you.
The next question is from Anastasia Karpova of Kempen. Please go ahead, madam.
Good evening, and congratulations on solid results. Two questions, if I may. First, can you provide an update on the status of your collaboration with Roche and Megalabs integration? And the second question is on EBITDA margin. In the second quarter, you massively expanded your EBITDA margins, driven largely, as I expect, by a positive effect. However, the increase in the third quarter was less significant. Is that due to seasonality in cost allocation, or is that an impact of higher sales to Quest and rebates on some of the tests you sell in the US? Thank you.
Okay, let me just let me first take your second question. You need to keep in mind, as I stated in my comment, and I think has been also covered by Pierluigi, the fact that in the quarter Q3 we had two effects. One is a write-off of receivable, which is a little bit over 1 million, and has to do with the Brazil situation. The second one is that because of the fluctuation of the reais, which if you follow the currency has been tremendous over the last few months, we experienced 3 million of as an effect, which is a one-off effect on current currency effect on the intercompany receivable. Intercompany receivable is between what we sell to our Brazilian subsidiary, right? So there is an effect on this commercial receivable, which is 3 million, and there is an effect of 1 million, which is the write-off of some third-party receivable. So net 4 million, give or take, that fell in the quarter. So this quarter is good, notwithstanding the fact that the true EBITDA clean from this effect should be close to 49 million euros, which is almost 39.5% EBITDA. So there are these events that are tainting, notwithstanding that, an extremely positive quarter at the EBITDA level. As far as your first question on the collaboration with Roche, we expect to have the initial placement starting from Q1 of next year. The reason being that we had commercial meetings. There are projects, but these are very large tenders to participate to, and so we believe that we're going to see the first effect of these starting from quarter one of 2016.
Expanding on Roche collaboration, when do you expect this collaboration to reach peak capacity in terms of throughput on the systems? Yeah, I mean, it's maybe far off question, but shall we expect a rapid acceleration in throughput on the system placed in those mega labs, or it should be a slow and gradual transition in terms of throughput growth?
Is a good question, and I will give a very candid answer. Difficult to say, because these are very mega labs equal mega deals, means long-term stability, but slow to happen. So my expectation is that probably the adoption is going to be slow, but then it gives you stability for long-term revenues, because these deals typically are 5 to 7 year tenders. There is a lot of capex that companies need to commit to place in the lab, and that clearly requires tender processes of 5 to 7 years.
Thank you for taking my questions.
Welcome.
The next question is from Maja Pataki of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. I was wondering if you could give us maybe an update on what the pricing outlook is in the U.S. As I understand, there are discussions currently ongoing for an overall cut in diagnostic test prices over the next 4 years. I understand that there is also a study which considers 20 tests. And the first question is, could you tell me where we are exactly in the process? And second of all, how much do you think you would be impacted if something like that would come through?
Yes, I think you are referring to the PAMA and the discussion that is currently ongoing in the U.S. Well, first, my comment, I think I need to follow the path of my customers and mainly the big labs that did take a position on this and are really part of this discussion, because us as suppliers are not part of that. And to my understanding today, there is a proposal and there is a mechanism to assess a baseline for a certain Medicare reimbursement. And the discussion really is happening on the mechanism, because as you know, for the PAMA, today the CMS is really proposing to use only as a reference the reimbursement that the big laboratory chains are getting from the insurance companies, and whereas the position of the big labs, which I think is correct, is that if you need to establish a baseline, you cannot only take the companies today, the few real labs that are buying million of patients from insurance companies, and therefore are able to negotiate, or let me say, the insurance company is able to negotiate a certain reimbursement with the private lab. So I'm sensing that today, as it always happens in the U.S., there is a heated discussion in terms of the mechanism. It is certainly true that this will end up, in one way or the other, into a reduction, which I don't expect to be so drastic, to be honest with you, on the Medicare reimbursement. Keep in mind that the Medicare reimbursement represents typically in our customer base 30% of the business of our customers. When it comes to the big labs and when it comes to the hospital, usually it's less than that. So do I expect an effect on pricing? Honestly, I don't take that in consideration. Or let me say, that drastic effect, I don't see it worse than what we see today every time that because of competition, we go and renegotiate contracts in the big laboratory chains in order to get the business. So the answer is, so far for the visibility I have, our business model that has been already, that takes into account some price reduction, is not contemplating any further reduction because of this.
Okay, thank you. Just to recap, so yes, there is something ongoing, but even if it comes through, you believe there's not much change to your business practices in the U.S. because it's the price is anyway driven by the negotiations you have with the big labs. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you think about it, what happened to vitamin D? Vitamin D is an effect of competition, nothing to do with Medicare reimbursement. The price pretty much was decreased almost 80% through its life. I mean, if you take the last 4 or 5 years of negotiation and aggressive market pricing, that has killed the price much more than any Medicare reimbursement. Medicare today is still, by the way, reimbursing vitamin D at $42 a test as we speak. The vast majority of the vitamin D business that is enjoyed by labs is has to do with private insurance, which is paying far less than that. So again, my concern is more with pricing effect on competition than the current reimbursement system.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my questions. So I think most of them have been answered, but just so I can understand the other expense line, the 5 million euros. So I think I understand around 4 million of that relates to Brazil. Is that right? And so the remaining, if you like, 1 million expense is underlying sort of non-Brazilian related recurring type of OPEX expense. And then secondly, just on the gross margin, obviously a very impressive trend during the last three quarters. I guess looking both into the fourth quarter and then into 2016, I'm not saying the third quarter run rate, but the sort of the where we're tracking at least during the 9 months, do you see that as a sustainable level into the future? And I guess let's get a comment on the sort of pressures and pulls and pushes you see for gross margin in the longer term. Thank you.
Let me just comment on the first one easy. The 1 million missing is the pretty much the medical device tax. For us, the medical device tax, which is, you know, what we paid in our U.S. revenues, on our U.S. revenues, we put it in that line as other operating expense. And that is a million and a click, so you get to the five. With the four where we explained, there is one more that is that. As far as the gross margin sustainability, I think it's a little bit too early to comment on that. I think that I take what we got. I see that the explanation, as I told you before, is a geographic mix, so good growth in geographies where the end-user price is good, in geographies also where the mix of products is good. On top of that, the fact that, as we again have stated over and over in the last years, our development plan is our pipeline is full of specialties, and the good thing about the specialty is that you're going to enjoy a higher price. The bad thing about the specialty is that you need to spend a little bit more in the clinical studies in order to create demand and get regulatory approval. So. Too early to comment. I think that there is an intrinsic gross margin sustainable improvement, but we will comment it when we will discuss about the 2016 outlook.
Perhaps if I could just ask one follow-up, which is with regards to R&D. I guess in a similar vein to some extent, but R&D, as far as the percentage of sales, while it has increased on the prior years, I think it's probably not quite tracking at the level that you indicated it may in the future. I guess given the pipeline of products you want to bring out, I mean, should we anticipate the intensity of investment in R&D to perhaps pick up in the future?
Listen, I'm not necessarily concerned about the. It's not the R&D per se. It has to do with the clinical studies. So if there is a cost that could increase in our future practice as related to the clinical studies which are necessary to generate clinical evidence for all the products, very new, very innovative products that we have shown. We have explained in the Trias plan presentation. Let me remind you sclerosing. Let me remind you the ratio between 125 and PTH. That evidence is going to cost, but by the same token, it's going to be paid back by very hefty margins.
That's great. Thank you.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Bye-bye.